Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Good morning. We're in Esther chapter 7 this morning, continuing in our study through the book of Esther. And let's go through and read it, won't you? And we'll start in verse 1. I'll read it out loud. You guys can follow along with me. And it says, so the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom it shall be done. Then Queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we've been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house? As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for the work that you do in our hearts. Thank you for the plan that you have for our lives. Thank you for the fact that you are in control. And even when it looks like everything is falling apart, Lord, you can turn things around and you can make them awesome. And many times you do that just to show your glory, just to show your power. And so, God, as we're talking about these things this morning, we pray that you'd speak to us and that we'd walk out of here trusting you more and loving you better. We just ask that you do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm 20 years old, and I'm working for a contractor, and he's got a motorcycle, and it's a Honda 500. It was just a sweet bike. And so this is like probably 1980, and it was a 78. And so he wanted to sell it. So he comes to me and he says, Steve, I want to sell my bike. And so would you like to buy it? And I said, well, you know, let me pray about it. Then I'm praying about it and we're working on a guy's yard and putting some concrete in. And I'm on one side of the backyard fence. So there's a fence separating the front yard from the backyard, obviously. I'm doing forms for concrete. I hear my boss give my motorcycle away. So I'm just praying about it, and God hasn't told me yet. Heard my boss giving my motorcycle away, and what had happened was the owner wanted to trade the motorcycle for an MG that he had. You guys know what an MG is? Yeah, it's a sports car. And so, you know, I'm on the other side of the fence, and I'm just like, oh, well, I guess God didn't want me to have the motorcycle. And so I just left it at that, and then we were off for 2 weeks. Well, after 2 weeks, I get a call from the other guy on the crew, and he says, I've been trying to get a hold of you for 2 weeks. The guy that Keith traded the motorcycle to can't keep it because his wife said no. And he wants to sell it to you. And, you know, I told him about you, and he wants to sell it to you. And so what ended up happening was I got the same motorcycle for a cheaper price, and the guy let me make payments on it. And the point of that whole thing is the issue of God's timing. God is never late. God is never in a situation where he didn't understand what was going on, and you're never going to lose out if you're waiting on the Lord. And this is, you know, as we go through the book of Esther, this is one of those things that is emphasized in the story itself. There are times when you're praying for things, when you're asking God to do things, when you're and they can be important things, not just like a motorcycle. That was important to me. Yeah. My wife never cared about my motorcycle. I got married not too long after, 2 years after that, and within a year, she had given my motorcycle away to somebody else. You know, she made me get rid of it because she's a wicked, wicked woman. I traded it for a pickup truck. It ended up being a good thing. She didn't want to ride it, and she didn't want me to get killed on it. So in any case, there are times when it looks like God is silent, and you're praying about important things, and you would like God to intervene, and you're reading your Psalms, and you see how God intervened in the life of David and in the life of Asaph and that kind of stuff, and you're like, why not me? And that's one of the things that you, again, see as you go through the book of Esther. When you're back in Esther chapter 3, in chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, Mordecai reveals a plot that's coming up against King Ahasuerus. He's going to be killed. And so there's a coup taking place. Mordecai reveals the fact that the coup's taken place, and he never gets credit for it. And in the very next chapter, what happens is Haman gets promoted. And the idea there is it's instead of Mordecai. And so this happens and God is silent. He doesn't say anything. And then there's a plot to kill the Jews. When Mordecai will not bow before Haman, Haman gets all ticked off about it. Not only wants to kill Mordecai, he wants to kill all of the Jews. And God is silent. And it looks like he's doing nothing. And then Haman, in this plot, takes it to King Ahasuerus. And the king makes a decree in chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, that all the Jews be killed. And God is silent in the midst of that. Mordecai, in chapter 4, pleads with the queen, and God's silent in that issue. When you get to chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, Haman builds a gallows that he wants to hang Mordecai on the very next day, and God is silent. Silent, 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 silent. And we know what happened in chapter 6. The whole thing starts turning around. And the point that I want to make here is that when all seems lost, it isn't. It wasn't in the case of Mordecai. It wasn't in the case of Esther. It wasn't in the case of the Jews. And obviously we're seeing that as we've come to this turning point. And it's not the case with you either. All is not lost. When you get to chapter 6, there's a sudden turn of events, and basically what God does is he keeps the king up. The king can't sleep, and so God uses his insomnia to save Mordecai, specifically from the plot that Haman had to hang him on this gallows. And so the king is asleep, or he can't sleep at night. He wakes up. He wants the most boring thing read to him, and that's the chronicles of the government. And as he's going through, all of a sudden there's something that piques his interest, and the whole coup against him, and he says, what happened to Mordecai? What did we do for him? And they said nothing. And so last week we talked about Haman comes in bright and early, because the early bird gets the worm, and he wants Mordecai to be squirming on that pole. And so he comes in early, and the king says, what should I do to honor the one that pleases the king? And Haman thinks it's all about him. And so you know the story. We read it last week. And so he comes up with this whole thing where he's to be honored wearing the king's robes, riding the king's horse, having one of the king's nobles go out and proclaim his greatness in front of all the people. And the king goes, great, good idea. Go do that to Mordecai. And again, God turns everything around. And the point that I want to make about that, is that when no one seems to notice, God does. Okay, so when all seems lost and it isn't, when no one seems to notice, God does notice. And then finally, when we get to this chapter, the other shoe drops and Esther reveals her request. And kind of my title for this chapter, actually I'm titling the Bible study God's Timing, but when I think of this chapter, I think of when everything seems great for the enemy, it isn't. And so Haman looks like he's going to get whatever he wants, and you get to chapter 6 and 7, and it all flips around on the guy, and it happens in basically an instant. This is when you're looking at chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, these are two-day events. And so when you're in chapter 5, it looks like Haman's going to get everything that he wants. You get to chapter 6, all of a sudden it flips around, and by the evening in chapter 7, this man's a dead man at that point. And so God is not worried about timing in the sense that we are. What we would like to have happen is God doesn't allow them to make the decree back in chapter 3. God doesn't allow Haman to be promoted in chapter 3. That's what we would like to happen, and God doesn't necessarily work that way, and we need to understand that. And so when we get to chapter 7, let's go through it again. It says, so the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, and on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request up to half the kingdom? It shall be done. And this is the third time he's made her this promise. So the first time is when she walked in before him unannounced, and he called to her and had her come in. That was, you'll remember that could have got her a death sentence, and the king hadn't seen her for 30 days before that point. And he says, I'll give you up to half my kingdom. And she says, all I want is for you to come to dinner with me and bring your boy pal there with you and come over to dinner. And when he gets to dinner, he says exactly the same thing. What's your petition? Obviously, you want something from me. What's your petition? I'll give you up to half my kingdom. And she doesn't tell him. And what she does is she says, I just want you to come back to dinner tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll tell you what's going on. And there is a whole point to this. And what she's doing is she's preparing the man for the things that she wants to share with him. Now, one of the things also that we have in the story is the whole situation where Esther has never told him what her heritage is. When she was made queen, Mordecai said, don't tell anybody that you're Jewish. And obviously, there's reasons for that. The Jews have been persecuted throughout the years, and the Jews had been persecuted up to this point. And so Mordecai is like, you don't need to be going around spouting off the fact that you're a Jew, because this can cause you problems. And many times that's what happens when we get noticed for things that we don't really want to be noticed for, or when we get noticed for issues that people are prejudiced against, and we get reamed on things. But there was a specific thing that God was doing in this, and he had his hand in the whole situation. And both Mordecai and Esther have a sensitivity to God. And basically what Mordecai said was, at this point, keep your mouth shut. And that's what God wanted her to do too. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. There's a proverb in Proverbs 29:11 that says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. You ever been in a situation where you've been talking to somebody, maybe a supervisor or somebody, maybe somebody who's over you, and you start just yapping and yapping and yapping and talking and talking and talking, and pretty soon it's not a two-way conversation. All of a sudden it's a one-way conversation. You realize in the middle of the whole thing, you're just going on and on and on, and everybody's just sitting there looking at you. Yeah. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. I've been in situations like that where I just walked away just going, what in the world are you talking about? I think I've told you this one before. We have a radio station here, and I poured the footings for the tower and, built the block building that's up there. I was in charge of putting the tower up, and I didn't get to do the climbing on that. We had some riggers come in and do that whole thing, but literally put the station together. went out and bought all the parts and all the equipment. And so I know the radio station. I know it. I don't know it as well now because they've been changing all the equipment out. But I know the radio station. And so I'm up in Spokane this one time, and they're going to, you know, they're doing our Bible study program. And so I'm going to be doing, you know, doing basically a commercial for that. And there's another guy, Gail Irwin. Gail Irwin is a guy that's been around Calvary's like forever. He's just like an old, hilariously funny, really popular speaker. And so he's sitting there and, you know, we're getting ready. And one of the things that I knew that I had heard that I had been taught about radio is that when you're going to do announcements, you need to have a script. You need to, you know, have something that you can look at. So don't necessarily want to ad lib things. You want something that you can go by. And so I'm sitting there writing this down, and, you know, I'm the radio guy. And so I look at Gail, and he's not writing anything down. And I said, you know, Gail, one of the things that I've been told is that you need to have a script to, you know, write things down and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm saying this stuff to this old guy who's been around forever. And he just kind of looks at me, and he has a little smirk on his face. And then the guy comes in to do the recording, and he goes, Gail, you wanna go first? And Gail goes, yeah. And he goes first, and he does the whole thing, and it's flawless and perfect in every way. And he didn't even look back at me. I just kind of shook my head, and I was like, you're such an idiot. You're talking to this guy who's been around forever, been speaking forever, and you're going to tell him how to speak. Really good. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. You know, when you're looking at the obscurity of Esther, it's not an accident. And what God does is he uses her obscurity as far as her national heritage to save his people. Haman had no idea that Esther was Jewish. And now he's rightly accused of plotting the death of Ahasuerus' queen at this point. And she phrases that in just a really excellent way to get the maximum effect. One of the things that we need to remember about God is that his working is related to the crisis, not the clock. God's got all the time in the world. He's not in a hurry. He knows when the exact right time to move is, and he knows how to handle this stuff. And he doesn't necessarily need our input. He'll take your input. I have grandchildren now. They give me input. I look at Archie is my granddaughter, one of my granddaughters, and she'll say things to me, and she's got ideas about things, and she talks, you know, quite a bit under her breath, but I listen very carefully. And she'll give me input on things, on what I should do and how I should do it and that kind of stuff. She's already bossing me. And you know, it's like she says these things, and I just look at her and I go, you're two. What are you doing? You're 2 years old. I love it. I don't mind the input. I think it's cute as all get out. Just really, I love it, right? I think that's how God treats us. He doesn't mind the input. But we need to realize that God's the one who's in control here, and we can trust him in the middle of the trials. We can trust him that he's going to work these things out for our good. Here's another thing. Surprises are not coincidences. And so in chapter 6, we have this ultimate surprise. Haman goes in to honor himself and to get Mordecai killed, and the whole thing flips around. And the reason that that happens is because God is sovereign in Mordecai's life. He's also sovereign over Haman. Haman just doesn't know it. Then, as you're looking at what's happening here with Esther, you have, again, Esther's wisdom. When you're back in chapter 5, what Esther's doing is reestablishing her connection with Ahasuerus. And so she's been away from him for 30 days. Apparently, during that 30-day period, he's been pal with Haman and just tight with him. And she doesn't know where King Ahasuerus is. And so the first meal that she has with him is to reestablish the relationship. She doesn't spill the beans at that point. What she does is she wisely, you know, just steps back and reminds him of who she is, what she is in her life, what she is in his life, and what kind of relationship that they've got. And what she's basically doing is comparing herself to Haman in the first banquet at that point. And she compares in a totally good way to Haman. And I talked about that before. If it was ever a choice between hanging out with my buddies after work and in construction or going home to my wife always won because they're ugly. Those guys are ugly. And my wife is cute, right? And so that's basically what's going on in that situation. She does not attack him. She doesn't go through and tell, you know, ask him why he did this stupid decree. You know, she doesn't go into telling him how to run his business, basically. She doesn't do any of that stuff, even though she had total right to do it. And again, it's a wisdom thing. And not just between wives and husbands, but between anybody that happens to be over you. You have to consider the person that you're talking with, and what needs to happen is you need to reach them, not just throw out information at them. This works in all areas of life. This is how I witness to people. I don't just throw information out at people when I'm talking to them about the Lord. And a lot of times when I'm going to witness to somebody, I don't even start off with the Lord. What I start off with is I start asking them questions about their life. And depending on how long I've got with them, this could go on for weeks. Sometimes it goes on for days. Sometimes it goes on for an hour. I think I told you guys about the, I was over in Hawaii, and I happened to have some downtime. So I was hanging out at a coffee shop, and a guy comes walking up and says, "Can I share your table?" And he's on the phone. He's got one of those plug-in phone ear things. I've got those too. I just never use them. But he's got one of those things. And so he's talking on the phone. He does that for about 20 minutes. And I'm waiting for my brother-in-law to come pick me up. He's always late. And so I'm waiting for my brother-in-law to come pick me up. And this guy's on the phone. And I just wait until he gets off the phone. I'm praying for him the whole time as I'm sitting across from him. He gets on the phone, and I just start up a conversation. I go, you know, "Hi. Who are you? Where are you from?" And he happened to be off a cruise ship, and he happened to be from Serbia, Croatia area. And so we get into this conversation where I'm asking him questions, and he, you know, and we get into history and that kind of stuff, and I'm just, you know, asking questions. And he's really interested in his history. He starts talking about a battle that changed the course of the Roman Empire, and it took place in that area of the world. And it was Christians against pagans in the battle, and the Christians won. And he makes the point, the Christians won in the battle. And I go, "Really?" And then we started talking about the Lord. And by the end of that conversation, my brother-in-law showed up, and he stood back behind me, and he tried to get involved in the conversation. I'm like, "Shut up, this one's mine. Get away from me." I didn't say that to him, but, you know. And the guy ends up coming to the Lord. And I spent probably 45 minutes talking to that guy about history before we ever got into a situation where I could bring in Jesus. And the guy got saved, and he got saved big time. Turns out he had a fiance that had just broken up with him because she became a believer. And God was just preparing this guy and just got him off the ship, sat him down right next to me, and, you know, there we go. The things that we have going on are not coincidences when we run into people, and we don't have to be people who are constantly pushing things. You're not a used car salesman. And I'm not saying that I don't talk to people about Jesus first time that I meet them, because if I don't have a lot of time, I don't mind doing that. But if I have some time, then I'm going to get to know the person so that they know that I care about them, because that's going to show them that God cares about them too.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday morning service times are 7:30, 9:15, and 11:15, and our Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.